all your printing needs. There'll be no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is finally Monday, Monday, March 17th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. And once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day. Today, we have in studio the Bahamas District of the Church of God of the Nazarene. No, I changed it wrong. No, forgive me.
Yeah.
The Church of the Nazarene. You know when you hear the Church of God, you just run with it? It's of God, right? No. But, about this particular church. I said, let me sit down to understand and appreciate, because I had a vision of Nazarene and Nazareth type concept. And I want us to venture down there, but you're celebrating some new things too. And I want to give that narrative and explain it to my listening audience, and also to get educated upon your church. What is it? Yes. What faith is it? Is this a Baptist church? Is this a Catholic church? Because I'm not familiar with the Church of the Nazarene. Mm-hmm. And I am the guy they have for Guardian Radio who say, will entertain new concepts. And I said, this is good. But I have Reverend Judy St. Louis, who just got a new title. Mm-hmm. And we can speak to her shortly. And then I also have Reverend John C. Wilde, who's the third, hopefully, in control today, right? Who is abdicating his position also and passing on to Reverend St. Louis. But I want to have a narrative, and I'm going to let Reverend Wild Goose explain what is the Bahamas District. And when you say Bahamas District, that means it have to be a couple of different districts,
definitely,
right? And of the Church of the Nazarene, and whether this is a Bahamian concept or if it's an international type of concept.
Sure, and I'm sure if I miss anything, Reverend Judy is going to fill the gap. But the Church of the Nazarene is a well-established, very potent and important arm of God's army. Here in the earth realm, we've been a denomination actually since 1908. And the church came out of the Methodist movement. Our first superintendent, Dr. Phineas Brzee, came out of the Methodist church with a focus on Wesleyan theology, which is basically entire sanctification and holiness. And the reason for moving into the Church of the Nazarene was to focus on compassionate ministry and ministering to the poor. So the Church of the Nazarene is sometimes confused with Nazarites.
Yes, Nazarites. Are you familiar with the Nazarites?
Yes.
They wear dreadlocks and stuff.
Yes.
And you don't wear dreadlocks and stuff.
I mean, I could. Okay. Well, I might get fired, but no, I can wear dreadlocks if I want to. But a Nazarite is a rite of the Old Testament where they hear not to eat certain meats, not to go near dead bodies.
Mm-hmm.
That's different than the Church of the Nazarene. The Nazarene referred to here is Jesus Christ.
Ah.
The Church of the Nazarene, Christ. And now the Church of the Nazarene is in how many world areas?
164 world areas.
Yeah.
164 countries, or I don't understand like world areas the term. It's in 164 country or 164 churches?
Countries, world areas.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So we're
You're global. Church, right. It's an international global. Church.
Yes. How many members again, Reverend Judy?
I know we have 2.7 million.
Nice.
Across.
Okay. Okay, so you're not a small organization. You're a global organization, and there is a Bahamas branch.
Yes.
And who heads the Bahamas' branch?
Well, currently, I'm the district superintendent. I've been in this position for the past 13 years. We have churches on Grand Bahama, five churches on Grand Bahama, English and King churches. We have four churches here in Nassau, again, English, Creole speaking, and one of our churches is bilingual. We have churches in Eleuthera, and we have a church struggling that we're trying to get back on track in the Turks and Caicos Islands. So we have churches here around the Bahamas, and we've been in the Bahamas for quite some time. Actually, this year was our
49th district assembly, but we've been here from 1972.
You heard the voice of Ms. St. Louis, who's the current superintendent now, right?
She's district moving into this office, yes.
Yes, and you demitted office when, Mr. Wilgus?
Well, it's going to be the end of this month.
Okay.
And Reverend Judy, I'll let you continue about that history there because you know it better than me. Mm-hmm. 1972, I wasn't here yet. But yes, I will. Last year at our assembly, I announced that this will be my last year serving in this position. I feel a call to move into other areas of ministry, mm-hmm. see God's face, and lo and behold, this year, the Lord gave us a gem, a jewel, a woman after God's own heart. And I underscore woman because this is the first time in our district's history that we've ever had a woman serving in this highest office of the Bahamas District Church of the Nazarene. That is our, the same beautiful chocolate lady here, mm-hmm. Reverend Judy St. Louis.
So, Ms. St. Louis, yes, right? You are now going to be district superintendent. I'm not sure what that is, right? I know what pastors are. I know what reverends are, right? But you are now in charge of how many churches in the Bahamas?
We have 11 churches.
11 churches? So which you basically oversee or over?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Explain what is your job, first of all.
So my responsibility would be to ensure that the doctrine of the Church of the Nazarene is maintained throughout our churches to ensure healthy. I don't work alone. I work with an advisory board. And so we are the governing body that oversees all of the aspects of the Church of the Nazarene in the Bahamas and Turks and Caicos.
Okay. Now, earlier, Reverend Wild Goose mentioned that some of the churches speak Creole and then bilingual in English. There is a church on East Street South. Yeah. Every time I see the Church of Nazarene, I say, oh, that's the Haitian church. But then now I see there's a Bahamian church would have Creole-speaking people present infused or doubled, right? It's a broad umbrella. Where all are you? You mentioned that in different islands, right? But tell me, where can I find a church and how is the church service organized? Can I come on a Sunday, or I'm not sure if you have Saturday or Sunday school.
Sunday.
Can I come on a Sunday and just show up and be able to immerse myself without saying, boy, I understand what you all doing or what you all saying?
Well, we have, like Reverend Wildwood said, we have English speaking, we have bilingual.
What do you mean by bilingual?
Okay, so at Victory Chapel Church of the Nazarene, where I attend, my husband is a senior pastor there, our services are in English and Creole.
Mm-hmm.
So if we sing in English, we sing the same songs in Creole. Whatever is said in English is said in Creole. So anyone could come in. Whether you speak English or Creole, you could come in and be a part of the service. We have two services, 8:30, which is predominantly English,
mm-hmm.
because we want our people to learn English. And we have a lot of English speakers that come at the 8:30 service. And at 11 o'clock, we have the bilingual, where you can hear the English, the preaching in English, the singing in English, everything in English and Creole.
Mm-hmm. Depends on how the Spirit leads you. It's organized structure. So we have an English side.
Yes.
No, I just thought, like, 1 minute I'm speaking and then my whole language changed because I speak both.
No, we speak. We want to ensure that our congregation understands everything. So if you speak English, you'll hear a translated. If the person is speaking in Creole, it will be translated in English. If they're speaking in English, it will be translated in Creole.
Now, let's talk about membership, right? Mm-hmm. This is the first time I'm ever heard of a Creole-speaking church. No, let me rephrase that, because I know there are Creole-speaking church here. Mm-hmm. There, I've come across Creole Catholics, right? And they have their ministry. But is this church, because it started in 1909, I think, or 8?
In Pilot Point, Texas.
Yes. Yeah. But how to get Creoles, how to get Creole in it? That's like an English concept.
Well,
and now?
Well, as Reverend Judy alluded to, the Church of the Nazarene is a global church.
So there's Spanish churches.
Yes.
Oh, now I understand.
And Reverend Judy actually mentioned that. Who knows, in a couple of years, we might have a Spanish church in the Bahamas. But you can go to any country in the world, Africa, Australia, England, and the list goes on, and you will find a Nazarene church there. So the notion that the Nazarene church is a Haitian church is a misrepresentation of who we are, because we're not a Haitian church, we're not a Bahamian church, we are a global church, and we celebrate national and international diversity in our church and in our services, and that's what I love about being a part of this organization. We are one people. Mm-hmm. We serve one God, many different languages, but we are one people, and I think that's so unique about what we offer here in the Bahamas and around the world.
Okay. So I've attended one or two Methodist services, right? It has a Anglican flair, but a very clapping type thing, and Anglicans don't clap, right? But there is that Nicene Creed concept. Mm. Do you have that too?
You want to speak to that?
Well, our churches, we have we are Wesleyan based, but we have the charismatic. We have our singing, we have our music, drums, guitar, keyboard, and we worship as the Lord leads. We have persons who would, we have dance ministries that would do free worship as we worship on a Sunday and a Wednesday, regardless of when the service is.
But I will say that I've been to Nazarene churches outside of the Bahamas in America that are very, very structured and very, very mellow. And I think what the Church of the Nazarene is the act of embracing the context and the culture. Mm-hmm. And that is what we do here. We have people of African descent, most of us, and we're jubilant. We're expressive, and you can find that in our worship services, definitely.
Okay. Earlier, I started going on the narrative of where the churches are. I know Mr. Wild Goose, Reverend Wild Goose, forgive me, you're in Grand Bahama.
Yes.
How many churches are in Grand Bahama?
So there are five in Grand Bahama.
And I want you to call the names.
Okay.
Right? And I also want to know who the pastor is, too.
Okay.
I can throw all that out.
If I slip up, you got to help me, but I won't. All right. In West End.
West End.
That's me, John Wagles, Faith Church of the Nazarene, heading into 8 Mile Rock. We have Grace Church of the Nazarene, the church that I was born in. That's Reverend Carly Theoc. Then we have New Jerusalem Church of the Nazarene. That's one of our Creole-speaking churches. Mm-hmm. That's Pastor Shallow. Then we have Solid Rock Church of the Nazarene. That's Pastor Phillips. And Church of the Nazarene, that's also Creole-speaking. And that's Pastor Michael Sintil.
Okay, so I know Grand Bahama.
Yes, sir.
Now we're going to come to New Providence now. I want to know how many churches there. And of course, call the pastor name too.
Okay, so we have four churches in New Providence. We have Beacon Hill Church of the Nazarene, which is in Carmichael Road.
Okay, I've seen that.
Right, and that is Reverend Glenda Cox. We have Central Church of the Nazarene on East Street South.
Okay, that's the one in the blue.
The purple.
Right. I've seen that. That's a big church.
Yes.
Like, is that like the head
church?
You know
us.
Yeah, no, I drive past. I see it. Tire shop across the street. The
senior pastor there is Reverend Pastor John Laguerre.
Laguerre.
And then we have Metropolitan, the blue church.
Okay, where is that?
That's the one on East Street.
Right, now, can we go back now?
East Street, the Creole-speaking church.
Yeah, but I want to know where it is.
East Street opposite Bahama Avenue.
Okay, I see it.
Right.
Okay.
The pastor there is Reverend Nelson Pierre.
Okay.
And then we have Victory Chapel Church of the Nazarene, which is on Mini Street.
I passed that too.
Right. And the senior pastor there is Reverend Dr. Anton St. Louis.
Okay. Your husband.
My husband.
Your good husband.
Yes.
Good. And go ahead.
Eleuthera as well.
You have one on Eleuthera too?
We have two in Eleuthera.
Okay.
And they are Reverend Judy.
We have Tapun Bay Church of the Nazarene, and we have Pastor Elliot, and we have Palmetto Point Church of the Nazarene, Reverend Cadet.
Okay.
Yes.
It's a broad representation.
Palmetto Point is Creole, and Taproom Base English.
So is there any type of time you have convention when all of the churches come together? I could know you had some kind of election. I'm not sure how you were.
Yes, we had convention just about a week ago.
Yes,
the 25th to the 1st of March. 25th of February to the 1st of March, we had convention right in Nassau.
Mm-hmm.
So all of the churches came together, came in from Eleuthera, Grand Bahama, and we came together for our convention and district assembly.
With the Anglican concept, right, when they have synod and all of the various churches comes together, right? I know there's like a Bahamian head, and there is also like international bodies. Is there like a head of, like how you say this is a Bahamian district or Bahamas district, to pretend to report to people? Like a group of bishops or?
So we have general superintendents.
Okay, explain that for me.
The general superintendents, they oversee world areas. So the general superintendent overseeing our area would be Dr. Samiento. So he is in charge of the Caribbean, churches and some of the
Mesoamerica.
Mesoamerica, the Mesoamerica area. And their responsibility, they are, like you said, the head of the Nazarene Church. And I would answer to them, you know, and there are
different levels of
mm-hmm. leadership.
You have someone overseeing the Caribbean,
yes.
Dr. Alfonso Porter. All right. And then we have a regional director, lines, and then we have the general superintendent over. So it goes from world area to region to field to district.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's nice. No, and well structured.
Very well.
And like I said, I didn't know that the church was this broad in terms of how many churches that you have internationally. And then 164 different districts. And then
world areas.
World areas.
We have many, many, many districts. I don't have the number.
Okay.
But we have many, many districts. Those are world areas.
And time for correcting me. And as you explain, I'm seeing it. I understand. 164 world areas.
Yes.
And then districts means in that world areas, there's different sections.
Yes. So one world area can have 5-6 districts.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay. So you celebrate your 49th convention recently.
Yes.
You said this last week or? When was that?
The 25th of February to the 1st of March.
And tell me, how does a convention look like? What can a person who visited the church should have expected? What was accomplished during that time?
Well, convention would be a time of coming together where you have delegates from elected or appointed from various churches around the district coming to represent that local congregation along with elders and district licensed ministers and auxiliary leaders. So, for example, opening night was a Tuesday, and of course the superintendent and I spoke, and then on Wednesday we had our Nazarene Missions International Convention, the day session where all the local leaders would give their reports of what's going on at their local churches. The district leader would give report on what she did for the entire year as a district Nazarene Missions International leader. And then the evening service would be a celebration service. So that same setup would happen on Wednesday, which was Nazarene Missions. And then on Thursdays, my wife would kill me if I don't say this right.
Nazarene
Discipleship International. Same concept, day and night. And then on Friday, Nazarene Youth International. Day sessions with all the youth presidents from around the Bahamas reporting and evening service. And is when we had the district assembly, which is the big meeting where superintendent would report and other district leaders would report, like the advisory board and the district treasurer would report. There'd be opportunities to ask questions. It's very structured, motions and it's almost like parliament where it's very, very structured. And then we would also have elections and appointments during that time. And then we close it on Sunday.
I want to ask you this, right? I know you mentioned that the Church of the Nazarene started in 1909 from the Wesleyan Methodist concept.
Mm-hmm.
What makes y'all different from Wesleyan? Because I know Wesleyan Methodist Church and Wesleyan Methodist concept. But what makes the Nazarene unique? Say, well, this is what we do. This would distinguish us as a grouping. So when you come here and say, okay, Why not just call you Wesleyan Methodist people?
Okay, so the Church of the Nazarene, we have specific core values. We consider ourselves to be a missional church. Our aim is to go out and to share the gospel, to meet the needs of the poor. We a Christian church. We believe in Christ as the Savior. We believe in the triune Godhead. We are also a holiness church. We believe that as Christians, even though we're living in a dark world, that we can live holy. We can live an acceptable life that is pleasing to God. And so that is our focus right now. And if you want to chime in.
I will also add that we're cousins to the Wesleyans. We share many of those core values. And we, like with Baptist churches and other churches, we worship very freely with our Methodist brothers and sisters, our Baptists, Pentecostals. I've spoken at Anglican churches. I think that to look to consider why we came out of the Methodist Church is a historical concept. And basically, our leader found that during that time, I underscore, during that time, the Methodist Church was kind of losing grip of ministering to the poor and compassionate ministry, and that is what they really wanted to concentrate on. So the Church of the Nazarene, I'm not saying other churches don't do it, but a major thrust of our ministry is compassionate ministry, ministering to the poor. You would find our people, even though we don't broadcast it, even though we're not on Facebook showing it, mm-hmm. we believe in going into the community and ministering to the needs of people and basic places of need and sharing the gospel of Christ, not so much through preaching, of course we preach, but through demonstrating the love and the arm and the heart of Christ to this dying world.
There's a movement for women being involved in church. I guess I'm going to talk about St. Louis. But there are also a conservative movement in the Bahamas that women can't be pastors. I'm not sure if you call any females as pastors. Can female be pastors in your church?
Yes, definitely.
You have female pastors?
Yes, Reverend Glenda Cox is a senior pastor at Beacon Hill Church of the Nazarene.
And Reverend Val Gusco with that?
Of course. Me? Listen, the Church of the Nazarene has always supported God's arm and hands and love through all people. We don't discriminate against nationality, race, creed, gender. And even though there are scriptures that may be understood to present a paradox to God's call for anointing, putting his spirit on all flesh. Mm-hmm. Historically, we have always supported the place of God using all of his children, however he has called them in ministry. So, no, Reverend Walgus doesn't have an issue with that.
I want to ask, and the reason why I ask these questions is not because I want to be flippant, you know. I really sincerely want to understand the religion because I'm not familiar with it.
Right? Yes, sir. I understand.
And then I want to juxtapose it to religions that I'm familiar with.
Yes, sir.
Right? Are they speaking in tongues type of things? Because like the Anglican Church and the Catholic Church where I attended, that's not necessarily there. And then I'm trying to picture the Methodists and the Protestant type concept and your praise and worship. Mm-hmm. Does your church lean to?
Well, I will begin by saying that we believe that the evidence of being infilled with the Holy Spirit is a holy life and is power mm-hmm. for service. God empowers his people. The Word of God says that. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and they received power. Mm-hmm. So we believe that's the evidence. Now, there are gifts of the Spirit mm-hmm. and if we read through the Word of God, it's quite clear that through the teachings of Paul, there's a certain order to the demonstration of the gifts of the Spirit. So, yes, there are persons with gifts of the Spirit, but we believe that we ought to follow the order of Scripture. You heard her said it, even though she was not speaking of what some people call tongues of angels. If something is said in Creole, you just can't leave an English speaker there like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
You need to interpret it. Yes.
Okay. So how does one get in contact with you in terms of coming to a service, being involved? I even want to know about if the church in general has a seminary school, if persons at the church want to become like certified or for lack of a better word. What is all of that? How does that go about?
Well, the Church of the Nazarene has multiple universities, colleges. The college that serves us in the Caribbean here, it would be in Trinidad, Caribbean Nazarene College. See, a theology, Caribbean Nazarene
College.
College.
Yeah.
Change theological. But across the length and breadth of the United States and the other world areas, there are Nazarene colleges, universities.
50 in America?
50 mm-hmm. in America alone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you want to further your studies, we have online, you can go to Trinidad. And in fact, this is where he did his, and he can speak to that. He went to Trinidad to when he got the call of God for ministry. My husband also went to Trinidad. He didn't only find theology, he found himself a wife.
Yes. You're not Bahamian? You're Trinidadian?
You don't hear a little something,
no,
something?
No, that's nice. I'm glad he went there and find you, bring you back.
Yes, that's where my wife is
beautiful
from.
Beautiful lady. Where your wife is from?
Santa Cruz, Trinidad.
So, I understand what is happening there. You go to Trinidad and you
pick up these
and you bring
girls,
back
right?
Bring back these Christian women back to
yes,
you. So earlier we were trying to distinguish between the term Nazarite and the Nazarene, right? Do you call yourself Christians or do you call yourself Nazarenes or do you call yourself Nazarites? What is the correct?
We're Christians. Christian. Under the Church of the Nazarene.
Oh, okay, I understand. I just iron these things out.
Yes, yes,
like how a Baptist would say, I'm a Baptist.
I'm a Baptist.
I'm a Christian. I attend
a Christian
Baptist church.
Right. Yes.
I attend a Baptist church.
Yeah, but then we'll say, but we Baptist.
Yeah, we Nazarenes.
Okay.
We Nazarenes.
You Nazarenes.
Yes.
Okay. Christian Nazarenes.
Christian Nazarenes.
Yeah. Like
not
Christian
Nazarite.
Catholic.
Not Nazarite.
Nazarenes. Nazarenes. Okay. And how was the first church here established? I assume somebody came from your missionary. So you say you're a missionary church. So I assume one or two missionaries came here and said, well, I can establish one here.
Well, actually, the Church of the Nazarene was established in Nassau through a young Christian, young lady, a Bahamian.
A lady?
Yes. Rosalyn Duncombe. She went to Haiti on a mission. And she encountered the Church of the Nazarene there. She met her husband there.
Mm-hmm.
And
not Trinidad. Go ahead,
Haiti.
Sorry. Go ahead.
In fact, her husband was from Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
And they came back to the Bahamas and established the Church of the Nazarene, Metropolitan Church of the Nazarene.
Okay.
The one on East Street and Bahama Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
So they established, and then August of 1972, and then in 1975, Reverend Hilton Outen established Grace Church of the Nazarene.
Simeon Outen, even his dad.
But how we get connected? Because I understand the narrative about the Metropolitan, but then that's just this. The Simeon Outen just came out of one of that church, or
no? Okay. The International Church will come in
And build it out.
Right. So that is what happened.
So his dad, Hilton Outen, who was my first pastor, he started a Nazarene church in 1975. Then Maroc. Hannah Hilly, Maroc, Grace Church of the Nazarene.
Mm-hmm.
And then churches started springing up and and being planted out of those two works around the islands, yeah.
Okay.
And that is one of the aims of the Church of the Nazarene, to plant churches across the world areas.
Reverend Wild Goose mentioned that as a missionary, he visits other denominations.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
How is that in terms of, like I said, a number of Bahamians are not familiar with the Church of Nazarene. Are you welcoming the embrace? I mean, Christianity is Christianity. Eh? They feel, they see the Spirit of God and say, yes, God is inside this pastor here.
Oh,
I'm going to invite him to speak.
Oh, definitely.
But are you able to ministry and go to different churches and spread the word?
Yes, definitely. It's a non-issue. Of course, you want to use wisdom depending on the context and the culture of any place that you go.
Mm-hmm.
So I move accordingly. and respect views that may be a little different, but these views that don't set us apart, because we believe we have those core beliefs in God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, etc. And I minister freely in all different kinds of Christian churches throughout the Bahamas and beyond.
Nice. We're talking with Reverend Judy St. Louis, and of course, Reverend John Wild, who's the third. I put in the full name there. Reverend John Wild, who's the third, is from Grand Bahama. He has his church that he ministers to in Grand Bahama. Mm-hmm. And Miss Judy St. Louis is the district superintendent, newly elected.
Coming right? in, yeah.
First time they're actually having a female district superintendent, right? So it's a big thing, something to celebrate.
Yes.
Was there any challenge, Miss St. Louis, when you say, boy, I'm going to take this job on, right? And, you know, we men, even though we say we're liberal and embrace, but, you know.
Well,
was it a fierce competition? Like votes till you kind of counting the vote again, counting again? Well, or people no, just it, wanted you?
It wasn't a fierce competition. We went through a procedure. And so I was appointed. We did not have an election.
Okay.
I was appointed. We had the candidates, and then with the leadership, they decided.
Okay. Yes. Another question, and forgive me for this, right? Mm-hmm. You have a husband who is a pastor.
Yes.
Right? And again, putting my personal views in it, right? You have a pastor's wife. Yes. Right? And how can you be a superintendent and you use a pastor wife too? You know? That's like an oxymoron, you know? Pastor wife, superintendent. A good husband, you know we got to do these things. Good wife.
Happy is you answering that, not me.
Well, my husband is very supportive of this. He himself was a former district superintendent for 6 years. And so our goal, our aim is to fulfill God's agenda. And in this season, this is God's agenda. Mm-hmm. We serve in this capacity. And so we will work together to do what God wants to be done.
And part of your job is you'll be traveling throughout the Bahamas and also Turks and Caicos, because I think, and then Eleuthera too. Which one are we working on that church? The church where we rebuild it, Turks and Caicos. Yeah. So you'll be going back and forth to Turks and Caicos and the Bahamas and making sure things.
Abaco too, because we want to start working in Abaco.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so when does that start? When you start traveling, when you start being busy?
Well, I take up office on the 1st of April. So I meet with the district advisory board, and then we begin to pray and plan. Well, we're already praying and make plans from there as the Lord leads.
I mean, I envy you. It's a mammoth task, and then I'm concerned. You being a good Christian woman, so boy, it's a lot of things to bite off, and right. And like you said, this is a chosen time, special time for special needs, and then you'll be doing that. And so I want to applaud you. Right. I'm impressed. Have you been able to travel around already as in your personal capacity, being the pastor's wife and visit other church and to help you be ready for this particular position?
Yes, I've traveled. I've been to, I'm a part of a women's intercessory group, and that has led me to travel to Africa, Kenya, Togo. I've been to United States, to the Caribbean. So I believe God was doing the preparation. Mm-hmm. You know, he was taking me through that process. And so I am willing and able to do his will. I'm his handmaiden to do his will.
God is good. We're going to take a quick commercial break right now. This has been Guardian Radio AM. I have members of the Bahamas District of Church of the Nazarene. They have, I wrote it down, 11 churches throughout the Bahamas and Turks and Caicos, right? They just celebrate their 49th convention when all of the different churches came together. The newly superintendent, district superintendent, is Miss Judy St. Louis. We are celebrating her here. And Reverend John.
I'm still a mister.
Reverend John Wilkins from Grand Bahama, right? And then tell me the experience about the church and this growth and this movement and about the church in general, because I want to know about it. And we're going in detail about the ministries and definitely they said they're a mission church. And I when we come back, I want to ask more questions, but what do you mean by mission church? Explain that to me. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. We shall be right back.
me Bulla Boy on his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what on?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police won't find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and we'll go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows it's you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Rona. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Center today.
Everybody Wins Live is bringing you the ultimate giveaway, a brand new Cybertruck. For every $30 spent, you're in the drawing for the ultimate grand prize, a Cybertruck. Drawn live at the Vibes Cartel concert March 29th. You'll also be automatically entered to win tickets to see the world boss himself. 25 lucky winners every single week. Visit everybodywinslive.com to get into the game. See website for full terms and conditions. Must be 18 or over to participate.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Pender is carrying a new line of tile, the Sky Series of Porcelain. Comes in four colors, tones, and shades. There's Sky Noir, Sky Azure, Sky Glance, and this one, Sky Gris. Sky Gris, as you'd imagine, gives you a smoky kind of feel. It's not heavy and depressing, but gives the area a chill feeling. The Sky Series comes in two formats, 24 by 24 at 530 a square foot, 12 by 24 at 525 a square foot. I really like this series for big spaces, and being porcelain, they can take a lot of traffic. The Sky Series at Pender Tile.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. As we conclude this segment, of course, we have Reverend Judy St. Louis with us and also Reverend John Wild Goose out of Grand Bahama. And we're trying to conclude with the mission of the Church of Nazareth.
Oh, wonderful. As you were speaking to Reverend Judy about her being a woman serving in this position, I thought of an old adage in the Church of the Nazarene that says, best men are women. Yes, and we thank God for her service, and I have confidence in the people of our district to embrace her and to support her and to allow God to use her how he wants to use her. I have great confidence in our people. So the mission of the Church of the Nazarene is to make Christ-like disciples in the nations, and this is, of course, taken from Matthew 28 and 19 and 20, and this is where we get our stance as a missional people, because we believe that we ought to go into the uttermost parts of the earth to make disciples of Christ. And this means that we have missionaries all over the world. As a matter of fact, we have missionaries undercover where it's a crime for them to preach the gospel, and we have to keep them safe, and they're bringing people to Christ and showing the love of Christ. So this is why we call ourselves a missional people. We're not just based in our local congregations. We're taking it to Jerusalem and to beyond, to the utmost parts of the earth.
Thank you, Reverend. And you, Reverend St. Louis?
So I would just want to say that as the new district superintendent, my desire would be to continue that trend, to encourage our churches to continue to share the love of Christ. Because, you know, when we look around at what's going on in our world, so many people are hurting. So many, you know, you listen to the news and you hear all about the suicide and all that sort of thing. So they need Jesus. They need to know that they are loved, they are appreciated. Live a holy life in the midst of all this darkness. And so this is our thrust, to continue to serve God, to be the missional church, to be the Christian church, to be the church that God has called us to be.
And I'd like to thank you for joining me, actually, and taking time out to explain the whole concept to me, right? So when I pass the church, I say, okay, I know who that is.
Yes.
I can come and visit there. Give me some phone numbers I can call out, that I can call and say, hey, I come in, right?
So at Victory Chapel, you could call 326-6816. At Central Church, it's 325. Oh, I can't remember. You know, we're so...
I'll call you.
Facebook.
Call me.
Yes. Facebook.
You have a social media. Yes,
Daphne would kill us.
Yes, we are on Facebook. And let me say, too, that we are on our road to 50.
Okay.
And so we're going to be celebrating our 50th convention in Grand Bahama in grand style.
Nice. Nice.
Okay, so we're looking forward to that. We've already started the planning, and so they would invite us back in so that we can share about what we're going to be doing for our 50th.
I need to write down my phone number. Speak to April on that too.
Okay.
I'm transitioning now, and I'd like to thank you very much
for
joining me, and thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
Anytime you can. Good. But thanks very much again, Reverend.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
Today I actually have a guest who I have to bring on at least 2, 3, 4 times. We have Dario. Dario is a personal friend of mine's that has some challenges, right? But he's brilliant. He is brilliant. And I said, man, Dario, come on the radio and explain one or two things that we need to be working on, right? Dario, state the obvious, because a number of people don't know who you are, but state the obvious of who you are. Introduce yourself, like in the last 15 minutes, and then I'm going to bring you back because I want to go in detail about everything. Go ahead.
Awesome. Thank you for having me, CA. Good morning, Bahamas. I am Dario Charlton, and I am living with a visual impairment. A few years ago, I started transitioning to total blindness by way of diabetes, causing parallel retinal detachments, a condition that's called diabetic retinopathy. But that has changed my life drastically, in a sense that, you know, I've learned to live in a state of darkness. And, you know, the conversation that we had that kind of sparked this initiative is for me to identify that while we have people that are out there who may not be quote-unquote normal or may have some challenges, which are opportunities, these are still individuals who can be very productive and have some serious assets to give back to society. And so I'm happy to have the opportunity to sit and present myself to the public, present myself as a person who is able and willing to jump back on that horse and you know, be able to find a career that suits my personality, my what I think is endless capabilities, and an opportunity just to be able to put food on the table for the simplest form.
So let's talk about that food on the table. At this present time, you're unemployed.
I am.
Now, I knew you as being an educated man with certificates and certification, went off to school, come back home, but you are having challenges finding employment. Why do you think you were having challenges finding employment?
That's... I want to say it's a bit difficult to say because I don't all of the cards and the decision to whether or not to hire. What I can assume might be my visual acuity or lack thereof. I know first and foremost that someone that's blind and out there looking for employment, you know, someone in the general public or an ordinary person may automatically assume certain job roles that might be suitable. They may say telephone operator or someone.
I've seen blind telephone operator right at the attorney general's office. Well, you go there and she have the switchboard and switching back and forth and can tell you who's here and whatever
and
it is.
You are going to see that. And I won't take that away. It only becomes a challenge when that box is drawn and it's presumed that anyone that is blind such a role. When we have individuals
that are blind. They are teachers, trainers. They are school principals. They are therapists. They are working in the service industry. They're mechanics. They're machinists. They are anything shy of performing duties that sight is absolutely required. And it's, for me, it's a position that I want to take where I challenge the public to not so much use the what they think the limitations may be, but find out what the limitations, where those limitations go away. I think to have a person like myself, and I want to throw myself out there because I can do that, but to have a person like myself on anyone's team would be a benefit like none other.
Okay. Just recently you applied for several jobs, right?
Yes.
Going to interviews, right?
Yes.
As a blind person.
Yes.
I want to know your skills, right? Because I'm being sincere, right? If I see you come in, even though I know you speak eloquent, even though I see in your resume, your curriculum vitae, and see that you're a little blind man, what can you do on the job where I say I can ignore your handicap, for lack of a better word, and allow you to perform?
Okay. Well, you know, the basis of every job that I've had since I began formal employment has always been identifying a problem, coming up with a solution, and none of which requires vision, at least not physical vision. I have been trained in a position where you have to meet, learn, understand, and provide a full-on life-changing experience for a person within 4 minutes.
Now, are you talking conceptual skills?
No, I'm talking about actual skills.
I'm trying to see now, you on this, okay, what type of job was it that you went on an interview for the other day?
Well,
type of job, not the job itself. Like, what was the outlying of this is the...
These were management jobs, business management jobs.
So you, as your profession, you are a management. You go into management.
I am in management. As a profession, I am formally a hotelier. However, I do have those transferable skills that can be brought into countless different industries. The reason why I brought up the concept of getting to know and being able to deliver a life-changing experience within 4 minutes is because while someone may think that that is a concept, that is a transferable skill that can be both internal and external on a business basis, meaning I can handle my employees and also customers on the opposite end or clientele on the opposite end with those same 4 minute life-changing skills. My ability to be able to grasp and understand what is the next best yes does not take vision. But where vision is necessary, then technology aids in that part of it, I think.
So let me give you a scenario. I'm thinking like a number house. I'm not saying that you should get a job in a number house, but let's picture a number house,
yes.
Right? And they need an office administrator.
Okay.
Right? And I know you're talented. You do know management work, office administration. You are challenged because you have your sight impaired. How can a number house hire you? Or what can they hire you as? They say, okay, the job is yours. You can do it. Prove yourself. Like, what would you be doing?
You're asking for an office manager. So that would mean this company has, first and foremost, to set out goals. What is it that they seek to achieve? What they want to accomplish? Is it that they want to ensure that their staff are working efficiently? Are they focusing on training? Is it that they want to ensure that revenue is enhanced? Is it that they want to move the bar as it relates to customer service above?
So you could become going to HR like a Bahama or an Atlantis and perform at an exceptionally well level despite you having visual impairment.
Beyond exceptionally well.
They just need to give you an opportunity.
Just give me the opportunity and I can show you exactly what it is I can do. And like I said, it is no way that this is boxed in. You know, I've been in a position, and I can probably close my eyes, but it takes what it is that that organization or maybe even the owner dreams of, and I'm in a position to make that dream become a reality, vision or visionless.
When you were in the hotel, what type of job you were doing?
I started off at front office or front desk, and worked my way through a number of different departments to include quality assurance, which is the complaints department for the organization. I've also worked in the executive offices. I worked in human resources and transitioned into resort management and general management, one or two of the family island properties.
So you could go to a Bahama and Atlantis and perform?
Of course.
They just didn't give you the opportunity. Go in the interview, you blow them away and say, watch me work.
Of course. I think that if whomever is on the opposite side of the table at an interview or contract signing can see beyond my inability to see, they would be amazed as to the levels in which I can take that organization to. And see, I know you're saying Bahama and Atlantis, but I'm not limited to that.
I just know you
in terms of... When I talk about transferable skills, I'm talking about skills that can... industries like... I'm talking... We're here now. We're in radio.
I invite you back to be the host.
We're talking media. Yes. We're talking... every organization requires human interaction skills. And where there are organizations where their team members may lack those skills, I can step in as a trainer and be a person that can come into your organization, evaluate exactly what level the service that your team members are given, and provide for you a comprehensive approach as to how that can be changed. I can establish a compendium of policies and procedures for any organization and take not just customer service, but production, service delivery, anything that you can think of, including those to a newer level. Because I've worked in positions where, you know, there was work that have to been done with government organization and other entities. I've worked through the immigration process, so I know that the ins and outs of it. I've worked through the gaming board process, so I know the ins and outs of it. I've worked in capacities where you'd be surprised to know the problems that may come up and strategies that have to be employed in order to see what the solutions may be. I believe in, you know, finding the next best yes. And that's done so, you know, with any imagination, but not limited to sight.
I mentioned earlier that you've been on a number of interviews. Successfully entered the place, had the interview where people are comfortable to mind, you're brilliant, right? You put your resume down and say, they see your curriculum vitae and say, you're talented. You meet the expectation and go beyond, right? What would you say to employers out there who tend to be timid? Say, man, you're smart than everyone who interviewing, but...
You know, I want to think or put myself in their shoes. And I think what it is when you can't imagine life without sight, you can't imagine how it's who does not have sight to live. I don't mean to sound harsh with that statement, but it's very difficult for some people to understand what it is someone from an opposing vantage point can see. And I think that if an employer can just close their eyes for a second during that interview and feel for what it is that I'm handing to them, they would understand the value in what it is that I bring to the table. I can imagine there are some fears, you know, maybe I have to point this out or point that out, but they would understand that it may take me to come to a particular place, venue, twice before I understand that there are 10 steps before the door. I can take right and find a seat to my left-hand side. Mm-hmm. Or I can identify exactly where every instrument that I need to use is in place.
Okay.
But then, when you provide me with a problem, you would understand where all of those physical limitation completely goes away.
So I'm speaking to Dario Charlton. I'm going to invite him back. I'm going to invite him back to even be a guest host with me. We can talk politics and see how well he does that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And as we speak to the Bahamas, right, about giving the opportunity for the challenge, because he's talented. Dario is talented with the degrees. He is specialist, right? As you go and traverse this New Providence and do interviews, remember, give him the opportunity. This has been Guardian Radio AM. Thank you very much, Dario Charlton. Next week, we can work on that again.
Awesome.
Have a wonderful day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.